Hello and welcome to Theatre Voice. My name is Diana Damian. I'm here with Matt Ball, Artistic Director of Camden People's Theatre, Hester Chillingworth, Artistic Director of Get in the Back of the Van Theatre Company, and Oliver Lamsford, Artistic Director of This Now This. We're here to talk about this year's Sprint Festival of Experimental Work, particularly in regards to audience engagement and interaction. So Matt, I wanted to start off by asking you to talk a little bit about Sprint Festival, especially this year's festival. We know it's been going on for about 14 years now. Yeah. It's a festival that's really about providing a context and supporting fringe experimental work. And this year's lineup looks fantastic. You have a mix of site-specific work, one-on-one, audio journeys, interactive performance, and even Forest Fringe's Travelling Sounds Library. So what was the intention of this year's festival? And can you talk a little bit about the mix of the range of work that you've curated?
We never go into it really with a specific theme or remit of what we're going to try and program. It's more about looking for work that excites us, and if something can excite us, then we hope it can excite an audience. And for the last couple of years, we've kind of tagged the festival as being about adventurous experiences in theatre, and it's really about looking at the different ways that we can provide audiences to access experimental work, or work which is not of perhaps the mainstream, and taking that in its whole kind of range of possibilities. So from a show that can be posted to your home, to something that takes place in the dark lit by torches, to a one-on-one show, to an audio tour along a canal, really anything which we think can give people a different access point to what theatre can be.
How do you feel Sprint fits into the kind of wider context of these fringe festivals, like one-on-one, Spill, ICA's recent live art weekends?
There was a really interesting piece, and I think it was on What's On Stage yesterday, which was partly related to an interview I did with them, and they described it as the granddaddy of the emerging arts festivals. And I think because it's been around for 14 years, it kind of predates things like Spill, Fierce, even Barbican's Bike Festival, that wasn't around. If you think back to that time, it was actually the Barbican was just the RSC, and the theatre's landscape in London was very different, and there wasn't as many access points for people to see interesting work, I'm going to call it. And so Spring came about really as a way of kind of galvanising people around the idea of what theatre could be at the time, and how to give a platform for younger theatre makers, because it's very hard, I think, as you're emerging as an artist in London particularly, to get your work seen, because there's this expectation that you have to do 3-week runs in a theatre, and actually a lot of people don't want to make that kind of work anymore. And actually, although they might move on to make longer running shows and shows that can sustain more audiences, a lot of people's work is about intimate experiences and doesn't survive economically, let alone in any terms of generating enough audience for that type of work. Or people want to do bigger things which just happen once, and it's about the audience just experiencing it in that moment, rather than a more kind of traditional notion of a play that people go and sit and receive over the same time on the same nights of the week for ad infinitum.
So you feel the festival was actually quite an important platform to support work in that sense, that not only on the kind of, you know, supporting emerging work, but also on not having performances that run every night for about 3-4 weeks.
And it's much easier to bring an audience into that, and to have somebody like you come along and talk to us about that if we put it in a festival. If it was just one of these performances on its own in the middle of a week, it wouldn't have any context. And so by packaging them all together, we're able to give it more context and support the artists better.
When did Starting Blocks, which is part of the Sprint Festival, isn't it? When did that come about? Is this the first year you did it?
This is the first year we did it, and it's a response really to a conversation with a number of solo theatre makers who were finding it quite tough and lonely, actually, to make work on your own. So we looked at ways of addressing that need and seeing whether we could find something that could help them, that was then self-sustaining. So the idea of peer support is that we set the structure up and we facilitate it to begin with, and we provide the resources we can within a certain time frame we can get funding for, and then after that they've also got a group of peers that they can come back to and rely on. It's not that we'll leave them alone after that, but that hopefully will be something more nourishing and self-sustaining than just kind of a 10-week period where we go, you can have this, and then out the door.
I'm going to go to Hester and Oliver. Can I ask you guys to just introduce your pieces a little bit? On a secondary note, maybe going off from what Matt was talking about, role of festivals and the difference between performing a piece at a festival and having a kind of 3-week run somewhere in London.
So the piece is called Anemone, and it's the one Matt referred to as being completely in the dark, lit by the audience's torches. But I guess what we're playing with is we're written the notion of being seen as using, it's like a performance that's trying to happen, and every time it gets lit up by the torch, it gets turned off in a way. It's like it's a performance that's too scared to be seen in a way. I was interested in what Matt was saying about the economics of certainly the work we've been doing. It utterly uneconomical teams of 15 people making things for an audience of 12. But actually, maybe the level of interaction in the work we're doing is almost a result of our limited resources. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't got access to a big stage, and the way I'd like to be able to develop a stage, I'd like something to be visible properly and to be able to do the high budget and that kind of stuff. If you can't do that, you're going to try and make it small and intimate and kind of work with what you've got. So we've been working in a studio in East London, and so we've been putting the audience in that space and then dealing with them in there rather than racked up on seats.
My company is Getting Back in Van, and the piece that we have in Sprint is called External. We made External in response to a piece called Internal by a Belgian company that I won't try and pronounce. Really what we did is, or what we are doing in the piece, is trying to explore what it is to respond to another piece through the medium of live performance. So it in no way is an answer to Internal, and one of the things that I think we're probably happiest about with the piece is that a lot of people who see it haven't seen Internal and don't consider that to be a handicap, and that's super important to us. Really what we're interested in is performance as dialogue. What Matt said about context is super, super important, because, I mean, one of my most recurring experiences with showing work is that if it's not in a kind of experimental context, or experimental is a bit of a dodgy word, but kind of non-commercial context, people can just have, I'll say, the wrong expectations. Who knows what's right and what's wrong, but people can feel like, well, I thought I was going to see Theatre with a capital T and I didn't, and people can get very upset. And yes, that's an interesting conversation you can have, and you can think, well, you should be more open-minded or whatever, but actually, sometimes I think it's more productive to save your energies to making the work and not try and surprise people by being in a context they don't expect, but actually make, you know, finding places like Camden People's Theatre or other places, or making your own context in which you go, you foreground, that you are trying to platform work that is not, let's say, mainstream. I don't think there's any point really tricking people, seeking up people, and then...
Yeah. I think that's really important, that you're honest with the audience about what it is they're going to see and get out of something.
But ultimately, what is it? Is it you wanting to create, this goes to all three of you, wanting to create a dialogue with an audience, or also wanting to bring in new audiences to this stuff? How do you manage that relationship both in the work and in the festival as well?
I mean, I would definitely say it's both of those things, because I do get very worried about always showing work to the same people.
Yeah.
I think what needs to be done there, I'll use the word education, but you need to get the dialogue and educate people to the point where they want to come and see it. And so you don't ambush them with it, but they actually choose to go, oh, I'll go to that Sprint thing tonight. It's about not keeping behind closed doors, I think, as well. And artists of any persuasion will talk publicly about what they're doing, the more opportunity other people have to get.
Yes, and it's one of the reasons why we started 3 or 4 years ago putting things into public spaces, which were always free and always the most accessible work we could find. So last year we had a 9-hour durational game of ping pong in St Pancras Station, and it's a piece of work you can engage with as a game of ping pong, as a piece of theatre, whichever kind of you prefer to do it as. And tomorrow we've got a confessional booth in St Pancras. As theatres, one of the things that we're quite bad at is being very open to people just wandering off the street. And I know it took me till I was in my mid-20s to actually feel comfortable walking into quite a lot of theatres in London myself, even though I make theatre and have been doing it for years. It's whether it's about the way the buildings are designed, or or not designed, or whether it's about how people have this attitude about what should and shouldn't happen and how you should maybe dress or behave and those kind of things. I'm trying to just address those.
Oliver, your piece is quite interesting in relation to all these conversations, because you talk about the vulnerability of exposure and the need to speak out. So what are your thoughts on what these guys are saying?
Certainly with what we've been finding with the work we've been doing is that actually it's not been theatre people who've responded best to it. And it's because in a way this, what we're doing, it's just about simple experiences. And if you go in this kind of, I'm going to decode and understand this kind of theatre in my analytical way that I've learned by seeing as a theatre, then you sort of end up looking too hard for a direct message when actually we're just trying to make experiences. And actually, it totally depends on the kinds of work, but I think that there's a lot of potential in public space type work and in surprising people and almost stepping outside of a big sort of sign up saying this is theatre and actually just letting people experience it for themselves and not bring their preconceptions along and to be able to get their own version of it. It's often before the shows with us, it's almost like I want to say, look, just don't worry too much about getting it or understanding what the story is, just experiencing it. If you experience it in an open way, you can have the strongest reaction to it possible. In a public space, you step away from the big science theatre, and so people, it's just a thing that's there.
Like on a street, on a canal?
But ideally, that it's not in that place that is big science theatre.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential in theatres. I mean, even cross-arch theatres are very useful if you're doing that kind of thing, but by stepping outside of that context, you step outside of the preconceptions as well, and that can be useful.
You mentioned something earlier that was really interesting about the kind of level of interaction and the nature of the work being partly a result of the economic condition of making of the work.
From my perspective, the first thing to say about that is that in economic terms, if you looked at it as a business proposition, it would be madness. It never really works. That is my experience, certainly on a small scale, because as soon as you get more than a couple of people working on a piece, then if you've only got 50, 60, 70 seats, it's just economically not really sensible as a business. That doesn't mean it can't work. It just is something that I don't think at this scale a lot of people go into it thinking about the economics in that sense.
I mean, I think depending obviously on people's individual circumstances, certainly in my company with this piece we made with External, had we waited until we could afford to make it, we would never have made it. And I'm of the opinion, outside looking in, I tend to think that if that energy and time were put to just towards making, they might have already made their show. And in a strange way as well, I think it may not be right, but I think it's true that people aren't willing to take the risk to financially back you until they have a reason to believe that your work is worth it. And so the first thing to do is make some work.
I think it's also something that we're really conscious of, is that idea of that theatre shouldn't just be, the making of theatre shouldn't be just accessible to people who can afford to do it. And so we spend a lot of our time trying to support people by giving space and support and mentoring and helping people write funding applications, those kind of things that actually make it something which can be self-sustaining and a career, in the sense that actually you can live off of it, not just in the sense of actually progressing, but just the basic, you can not have to have another job to do.
My experiences very much support all that. We're making a show based on the unpaid labour of 17 people, including string quartets, six performers, a creative team of five or six, and self-funded. It's just very much that feeling of you've got to make the piece, and there's a lot of ways to procrastinate, and I think that optimistic fundraising is one of them. It's not that sustainable though, which is why you want to make it good.
And I also don't think that that is, it's a dodgy thing, but I don't think it's massively wrong. I think you should have to prove that your work is worth it. I mean, you don't think you should have to spend 25 years proving that or whatever.
I just wanted to move things on to talking a little bit about kind of the rules of the game in terms of engagement and your different approaches to the kind of work you want to do and the kind of work the kind of sprint puts together in terms of where you place your audience and how important your audience is in the content of your work, not necessarily in the reception of your work, to reference your pieces, because they're also quite different in tone. Yours is called external, so it's obviously, you know, loud, and yours happens in the dark with a torch. So there's two quite different rhythms there and two quite different ways of treating the audience.
Two people is an interesting phrase, okay, how much you do something, two people. And seems to be very much a context in interactive or engaging work at the moment of like there's quite a big moral question over do you do it to them or with them or the work we're doing is it's image based and it's coming from images, so there is a sense of us trying to give something, like trying to put something out there for an audience. But it's really, it's trying to make like a theatre of experiences, and so trying to have some subtlety in the way in which we engage with people.
You are right. Our piece is, I guess you could say it's quite loud. It's certainly very, and there's lots of reasons why it ended up like that. I mean, one thing that we are always very interested in is the show, with a capital S, the form of the show. And I think a lot of, I guess I would use the word experimental again, theatre tends to immediately discount the form of the show and go on to look for other stuff, and we quite love the form of the show, and we started talking about intimacy in terms of the Belgian show Internal, and they kind of posed this question, how intimate can you get with a stranger in 25 minutes, and we wondered the same thing, but we just thought, well, what if you're not in a booth? Giving away internally. What if you're not in a booth with one other person, it's not one-on-one? What if you're sitting in row D in a theatre with lots of other people facing the same direction? Can you get as intimate as you would be in a booth? We reckon you can. So it is very external, the show, very, I guess you could say, extrovert, but our aim certainly is to engage with people as intimately as if we were sitting in the dark.
From talking to them, from reading about what they're saying and seeing photos of it, I think it's very much about sharing something with an audience, and both those pieces seem to be, rather than doing something to an audience, from what you said. And I think that we're very cautious of work which tries to tell an audience how to behave or what to think.
I think there is something big about letting go a bit of trying to control the end response in someone, but also I think there's such an importance in putting something out there and trying to be something, but something defined and kind of really felt on terms of the creative side of things. I started making work after seeing a show in Spill, actually, which was 2 years ago, by Castellucci, the Italian director, which is in a way very manipulative. It's very strongly visual, it's very shocking, it's very surprising and engaging imagery that really takes over. But you, if you let go of, okay, what does it actually have to like define, or is there like a narrative that you have to get and have to work, that isn't such a problem, but you're giving the room for people to feel their response to it. And that's the main thing.
That's a final question.
Yeah.
What do you think, briefly, is the urgency of adventurous experiences in theatre today? Why do you think this kind of theatre is very important right now?
I think it's always that theatre is about something that happens in the moment. And it's important to me that when I go to the theatre, that I'm not just setting up the same expectation that I've had since a child about what a theatre is, and that I do get sometimes some new experiences. And when those new and beautiful things happen that you haven't seen before or you weren't expecting, whether it's just a fleeting image or whether it's something which fundamentally changes how you do things, like the Castellucci thing for you, those are the most wonderful experiences in theatre that you can have. And that's what I perhaps mean by being adventurous. It's about allowing yourself the opportunity to create work which is extraordinary, and allowing an audience to come in and hopefully get something which they love.
I think as well, you know, I do think that live performance, it has a duty to champion and celebrate liveness, and I think a lot of live performance has been co-opted by, I'm going to call them just zones of commerce, probably, that, or maybe it's not always commerce, but ways of thinking that actually try to stamp out liveness within liveness,
mm-hmm.
and things like the mistake or the error or risk become the worst possible things, whereas in fact those are the ways you know it's live. It's why by seeing live performance you can create for yourself new lenses in which to see the world. That is what I believe, and I think that it should do that.
For me, it's very much about, it's quite a reaction to looking around a very text-based theatre that we have in this country, and just a reaction to, there's just a lot of deadness around, this kind of deadening dullness that you just, that experience of sitting there and just being in the theatre and nothing really happening inside you. I think there's like quite a big kind of feeling of people, they want to be able to reach out and touch you, and then sometimes people are taking it quite literally, and there's just this urge to, well, I've got to have an effect on them, how can I do it? I've just got to get a hold of them and do something. And I think that's a big part of this kind of current trend, is trying to really make a connection with people.
Thank you very much, Matt, Hester and Oliver. Sprint Festival is on until the 27th of March at Camden People's Theatre and around, so do check the website.